Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? Surely you're not nervous. Perhaps it will calm if I tell you a story.
We are meant to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatized by fact, the mystery, the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these madmen, play, we urge you, calmly, seriously, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome back to The Horror. Thanks for joining me once again. We'll hear from Beyond Midnight this week. A series that debuted in November of 1968, aired until April of 1970, produced 78 episodes for South Africa's Springbok radio station. Our story today is Hobart. This one first aired May 9th, 1969.
9:30.
What can you expect? Always the same new house. Bound to be built.
Of course. They all built.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Oh, no. Here's a... Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know we knew anybody there.
Where?
Australia.
Oh, I don't. Do you? Open it. I want to bite you. We'd been in the house 3 weeks when the letter came. July. It was drowsy weather. There's so much to do. The new house, curtains, and we worked very hard. We went to bed before dark every day, tired out. By the same post, I got a letter from Mary. Forgetting Australia for the moment, I was deep in her everlasting muse when something made me look up. I looked down again and then back once more at Arthur's face. I wasn't sure then what I saw there. I only knew that whatever it was, it wasn't good.
Biotex, the new soap and pre-wash powder, presents Beyond Midnight by Michael McKay.
Those used to be sunny mornings. The house faced east over the estuary, and I used to open the windows early to air out the smell of paint. We'd moved in the day the workmen left, and everywhere was fresh and lovely. The house, though ancient, felt new to us. It had been a step, leaving Wimbledon Park, but those early weeks were proof that it had all been worth it. Then the letter came. Arthur, what was it?
Well, this letter. It's from a P. St. J. Hobart.
Well?
He says that the house, this house, has no business to be disposed of. He says it's his. Under his late uncle's will. Late St. P. Oh, St. John Herbert.
He was the owner. Did you remember? Been in the family for a couple of years.
Well, it's everything, carefully.
Did you remember that it was a lawyer?
Yeah, I know, Hobart, but he died here, the uncle, but he died intestate. Oh, he made a will. Well, the lawyer's had it, apparently. But, oh, this isn't what this chap from Australia says. Well, this is what I know. I mean, what the lawyer's told me.
Look,
wait a minute. The old man made the will, but then went to the lawyers and destroyed it under their very noses. Well, they told me. He didn't make another one, and then he died. All he left was bills. So the house was sold to pay the bills. Nothing about a nephew anywhere. But now all this, what does it mean?
Arthur, those lawyers can't have made a mistake.
No, they can't. No, this chap hasn't got a leg to stand on.
He's trying it on.
Or an imposter. Here, read it. Georgie knows the place like the back of his hand. Read it.
So that... Does this mean that we've
just
got...
Just read it. I don't know what it means. Well, not much, I hope. Cruel is an insulting so-and-so, but... Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, well, it mightn't be genuine.
Pack of robbers. That's very charming for a start. Scene of his boyhood.
He can't make up his mind whether to insult us so that we clear out or to make us feel bad, preying on our feelings. A scene of his boyhood.
Lived my miserable life with no hope only to return. It's my fate, my inheritance, and my passion. Mine. And no one shall cheat me of it. Well, it sounds sort of like a threat, doesn't it? No, Arthur, it's no use just dismissing it.
I'm not dismissing it.
Well, I mean, really, in fairness, his uncle ought to have told him.
Well, maybe they fell out. Well, you never know. There's a lot goes on in those old families. Always supposing this chap is genuine, and...
Anyway, I think you ought to send this on to the lawyers and that. I mean, we've only just moved in, Arthur.
And we're not moving out either. It's our house. Bought fair and square and above board with cash.
Well, I mean, let these lawyers you saw, who arranged everything, let them write to this P.J. What? This man.
Oh, Hobart.
Yes, well, let them write to him. I don't mean, what are they for? What else are they for? In the first place, he ought to have written to them instead of trying to play us up.
You've got a leg to stand on.
Look, this hasn't got anything to do with us. Just put it out of your mind and send it to the lawyers.
Not a hope.
Well, God, I wouldn't be surprised really if that was the end of it. All right? My dear husband left the room after that, went down to the garden and stood on the lawn and looked out across the water. It was a lovely house. We'd wanted a house near the sea. Arthur was very keen on boating and asked nothing better than a bit of gardening when ashore. That morning, before that letter came, we planted out some carnations and Arthur had cut the hedge and was so happy. It was the last happy morning we ever had, I suppose, together. As soon as Arthur set eyes on the place, I knew you were going to live there. You came on it around a turn of the valley, suddenly. Just the house, the water, and the trees going up. The lawn sloped to the estuary, and there was a jetty. High and dry that day, for the tide was out.
You didn't tell me you'd written yourself. Oh, Arthur, I thought you were just going to pass the letter to the lawyers.
Well, I did, but I thought I'd like to try and explain things to Hobart
You're
myself,
not
too.
A good letter writer, the way you express yourself.
Yeah, well, there it is. The cat's in the fire now, all right. He's just gloating. He sounds like a maniac. I just wanted him to let him know the place was in good hands. Well, I thought... Oh, I don't know what I thought.
Would he go for us with a gun or anything? Well, it sounds as if... Anyway, he's coming. Coming here.
Just to throw us the whole matter out. What is it, a thrash out? It's our house. We bought it. Well, I mean, that's what I told the lawyers. I thought lawyers were people to be trusted. I've never had to deal with lawyers much before, but... At least I thought, in an open and shut case like this, I mean, when there's no doubt he's in the right, I thought they'd be on our side. All they do is hum and haw, change the subject.
The villagers aren't much better.
Oh, they're a close lot, they are. Smugglers, that's what they are.
Go on.
They're in league with the Hobarts, I tell you that for nothing.
Well, how on earth can they know the nephew's coming?
I don't know, but they know he's coming here, all right. The way they look at me. They won't be living in that nice house for long. That's what their looks say.
Oh, sometimes I wish we'd never come here at all.
Why? We bought it. It's ours. Why then, if that bloke continues his present attitude, not a word will I hear. I will not clear out. I'll not sell. And that's final.
This P. Hobart man arrives in London day after tomorrow. He'll be here that same day. There we were, left with this worry hanging over us. Arthur couldn't concentrate on the garden. Somehow I couldn't summon up any energy to get on with the things that needed doing around our home. Because we were frightened that in a very short time it would no longer be our home. And then, 2 mornings later, we ceased to worry.
I'm just going down to the shops, dear. Do you need anything? Could I see? Arthur, dear, is there anything wrong?
Lizzie, look.
What? Arthur, what's the matter?
I don't believe it.
What?
Well, there's been a plane crash. En route. Home from Australia. But they give the passenger list. Look. All lives lost. There.
P. Sitchin Hobart. Arthur and I were ashamed to voice our relief. We were ashamed. Later on that day, the lawyers came on the phone. Yes, I know, said Arthur. Don't tell me. That evening, our floorboards started to be torn up. A clock was moved from in front of the sliding panel. Thrown out in heaps were our clothes and papers from drawers and cupboards. I heard him. Arthur heard him. It went on, night and day, but neither of us caught him at it. How could we doubt for a minute who it was?
I feel like a new man. It's a lovely day today.
I thought you had flu.
I took a grandpa headache powder, and I'm well better.
When colds and flu are about, grandpa headache powders are what you need. Grandpa headache powders work fast because they dissolve almost immediately. Grandpa makes all those dreadful flu symptoms disappear quickly. So, whenever you're in pain, get fast relief. Get grandpa headache powder.
Ah, grandpa.
Just soak. Just soak in Biotech.
Stains, grass stains, collar and cuff stains, ingrained dirt, soil and grime. Out they come and you don't stir a finger.
Just soak in Biotech.
Biotech with natural enzymes is the pre-wash powder with the most enzymes to give you extra pre-wash power. Absolutely no rubbing, no color loss, no fabric wear. Soaking in Biotech removes the stains and dirt that washing won't.
Just soak in Biotech.
Hobart? Can you hear me, Hobart?
No, Arthur, please.
Can you hear me? Leave us alone. Go away. We know it's you. We're sorry. Although none of this was our fault, we are sorry. Sorry that you had to come halfway across the world just to die. We're sorry, please, St. John Hobart. But you've got to stop frightening my wife now and go away. Go where you belong.
Arthur!
It's all right, love. Please. Please, sweetheart.
I never thought that. Arthur. Do you think that vicar in the village...
Oh, what's good with that?
The church has got power. We can do things. Exorcism. Oh, I don't know what...
Exorcism, isn't it?
Yes, Morgan. They do. They... Please, let's go and see him.
We don't belong to this church. Well, we never go to church.
Oh, he's a good Christian gentleman. He'd see us. Why should it matter whether we go to church or not? That's not what he's for, just
for
people who...
All right. Yes. I'll phone him and we'll go and see him. And we'll both go.
You know what he's looking for, don't you?
Hobart?
Yes.
The will.
Yes.
The one that the old man destroyed. Here we are, two grown people, old enough to know better, huddled frightened in the room, talking about a man who's dead. And we know he's dead. And we're talking about him as if he's alive in our house and...
He is? In our house, I mean. Not alive anymore.
There are no such thing as ghosts.
Lizzie, please, my dearest, it's all right, please. We've got to fight this. Please say you'll fight. Please, please tell me you'll try. Try not to be too afraid. We'll fight this together. It's got to end somehow.
At the start, we remained outdoors as much as we could, leaving the house to Pease, Sidge and Hobart, in case he might weary and be still. We now seldom saw the sun. It was sultry weather. The trees became dark as if they were full of smoke. To distract me, Arthur would take me boating upriver, out of sight of the house. Or we'd take sandwiches and go into the woods. Sometimes we'd go miles and miles away, walking nearly all day. This lasted for a little while, but I could see that my husband wasn't happy. He was right, of course. Man should stay in his own house. He telephoned the vicarage, more to please me than any hope that a solution from there might help us. Either way, it was the same. Because Mrs. West, the vicar's wife, told us her husband was away for 3 weeks on exchange in a north of England parish. And then, one evening, I saw P. Sidgeon Hobart.
I feel as if we've walked for miles and miles. I feel as if we've walked to Land's End and back. Oh, it's lovely to go out for the day, but it's even nicer to reach home again and see your house down.
Oh, red sky at night, Shepherd's delight. What's of this? What is going to...
Look. In the doorway. We looked down at our home from the hill above it, down through the sycamore trees, and he stood in the doorway, as might an owner. Oh, I knew him so well. He was tall and bald, and even from that distance, I felt that he was smiling.
Let's get down there, to our house.
Australia had a long look at it. It was raining and the windows were closed. There was a heavy sea mist from the estuary. Arthur was reading. I was trying to sew some chair covers, but somehow my heart wasn't in my task at all. I looked towards the window and there he was. One hand flat against the pane with the water running down in little rivers. Through the glass, I saw his teeth and his eyeballs. I saw him laugh silently, terribly.
Arthur, dear, let's close the curtains, shall we?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Somehow I pity him out there.
Oh, Arthur, how much longer? How much?
Oh, my dear, I won't, though. I won't. What's good enough for him is good enough for me. Yeah, but why don't you... Why don't you go away just for a while? And for a change? And to Mary's side?
Mary can leave you. I know where my place is. He's stopped looking for the will, hasn't he?
It seems as if he has. Seems concerned with us now.
Could he do us some harm, do you think?
Well, how could he? He's not of this world. Well, not flesh and blood. But how could he touch us?
Perhaps he wants to come to terms.
Terms?
It's funny. I wouldn't mind having a bachelor in the house. I wouldn't mind at all. If he was alive.
Why do you fair and square with a living man? That's all I ask a living man to deal with. Perhaps it is. I call this a dirty trick.
Well, you can't blame him. Blame the air crash, but you can't blame him.
I never thought there'd come a day when I'd tolerate in my home someone, something from a world which isn't ours. I can't enjoy my home anymore, and I won't be able to until I've had this out, until it's finished. I'll have this out with him if I die in the attempt.
Arthur would stand for hours in our doorway, watching to see who would come out of the woods. It seemed as if Hobart had given up sneering. He'd remain quietly in the corner of a room or range the woods about the property. He'd stand by the water and look out across the estuary. Far from getting an occasional glimpse of him, we started to see him quite regularly, almost every day. After a while, it seemed as if we merely had a silent guest living with us. But you see, Hobart would never face Arthur squarely. No sort of satisfaction would he give. It was always distance. Distance between them. And looking back, I can see that this was all planned on our ghost's part. He was goading Arthur, goading him. He was everywhere, and always the same queer smile upon his face. Get us out? No. Somehow, I think I knew, even during those days, that he meant to do more than that. May have been his revenge, I don't know. P. Sidgeon Hobart brought about a rift between my dear husband and me. I never thought such a thing possible, after all those years. But it happened. A dead man came between us. Arthur grew titchy. He lost his appetite. It was as if I'd done something wrong. The end came suddenly.
There's going to be a storm. Oh, so Dad, we've got a nice lot of logs in, dear. Oh, my, it's dark in here. Mm-hmm. Arthur? Arthur, dear, what? Dinner's ready and... Oh!
I looked up, and Hobart was standing between the dinner table and me.
Up!
He'd never come so close before. He was laughing silently. His bald head shone in the fire glow. He came closer, at the whites of his eyes. I knew evil when I saw it. This was evil. Wind came. The storm was beginning. Already I knew it would be raining in the estuary. It was full tide. Hobart, P. Sidgeon Hobart, came closer to me and closer still.
Arthur! Arthur!
Hobart laughed again, as silent as ever, and then backed away to the sofa.
You needn't go. We've got business, Mr. St. John Hobart.
And he spread his arms wide, Arthur did, barring the one way out of the room. And Hobart walked straight through Arthur and the door and disappeared.
No, you can't! You can't do this! Come on, just... Hobart! Hobart! Hobart!
I ran to the window, and I watched the ghost stroll down across the lawn. Arthur ran after it. My poor dear tried to battle with it. He threw punches at it. He was fighting the air. Hobart went on and on, down towards the jetty. Full tide. The water was high and angry. Lightning flashed. Hobart shimmered in the lightning. Through the downpour, I watched them come face to face, for Hobart turned suddenly. I could see him laugh. What began to pass, I shall never know. I could not move, could not follow. Time for me stood still. I was watching a play, a film. I was in a dream, anything.
anything except reality. Hobart strolled off towards the jetty. Arthur followed. Lightning, white sheet under the water, over which P. Sidgeon Hobart walked. Forward. On. Arthur followed and fell where the jetty ended.
What remained was the roaring storm and the racing water into which my dear had gone like a stone. Not till the following day did they bring Arthur home. His poor face was strangely peaceful. You see, he was satisfied. He had had his say. He had had it out. I suppose I got through on the telephone to the village. I know I was not left alone long. The death finds you friends wherever you are. Somebody wired Mary and she came. And it was with her that I went away, never to return. So there is the place for whoever wants it. Once again for sale, for I need the money. Empty or not empty, I cannot say. Who is in possession? I do not ask.
Beyond Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe.
That does it for this week's episode of The Horror. I'll be back Saturday with more. In between now and then, if you want to hear more from Beyond Midnight, check out the website, relicradio.com. Also find all the other podcasts there, past episodes of this one, and everything else Relic Radio, like our Shoutcast stream. And if you enjoy this and all the shows, our donate button. Your support makes all of this possible. If you'd like to donate, click on that button. You'll find out more about that. Thank you, as always, to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Saturday with another episode of The Horror. The Horror is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.